Deuteronomy 7. Before we go to Deuteronomy 7, I want to read, you just listen. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 10 and talk about. Moreover, my brethren, I would not have that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And they're talking about the trek of Israel from Egypt through the wilderness and into the promise. And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual rock, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not desire after evil things as they also lusted. Now, the word example there is the word that means schematic drawing, type, figure, parable, metaphor, all of those kinds of things. It's neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the earth, the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Now that's the predicate of this. As you well know, for a couple of you's benefit, this book, this Torah, this Deuteronomy and others, it's a picture of an inexorable process that's going on within you. And so now let's look at Deuteronomy 7. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Now these, which is mine?
This is mine. I don't know about any of these others.
Those seven nations are the seven mountains in the book of Revelation. They're the seven hills. They're the seven-headed beast and all the metaphors throughout. And they're also the seven enemies within you. Now, on each of those seven mountains, there's all of this high place activity. And those seven mountains are filled with the green trees that we've been studying lately. All seven of them. Now, in the tract of the Talmud called Avodah Zarah, it's the whole chapter, I mean, a whole book in the Talmud that discusses this, really discusses Deuteronomy 7. And it says, as you're going through the land and you run into these trees that have been used for idolatrous purposes, what they do is they burn the tree, but it isn't cut down yet. It isn't cut down until later. Now, for all of you, those of you who have been here very long, you know that all of those trees have been burned. But they have green shoots coming out of them every once in a while. And Israel was not commanded to totally destroy all of those trees. And each of those trees represents a definition of yourself, your I am state. Israel was not commanded to destroy, to cut down those trees until the land was fully possessed. They just burned them as they went through the land across these seven mountains of the promise. Then they came back and wiped them out, burned them, cut them down to the ground. Well, we've had, you know, and some of them were still alive because the fire didn't get to the root. Well, in some of you, you still are battling the same battles you have for 7 years, 10 years, 12 years. But the truth of the matter is that the battle is over. The tree just has a little green shoot out of it. It's been burned. All right? Okay, let's go on. Verse 2, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following thee, from following me, and that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy you suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. But the Lord loved you, and because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. And, well, the rest is all of the blessings of obedience. He's going to send the hornet in there and destroy and discomfit all of these nations within you. But in verse 21, thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee, little by little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Now, the arena that we're studying right now, the book of Psalms calls the great transgression. And the great transgression is your definition of yourself. And the definition of yourself is all of your I ams that attend to that state of being. Each one of the, you remember we talked before about spiritually, the reason God invented computers is so that you could see a picture, you could break down this mind so you could see what was going on, and all your opinions and all of your belief systems were like a series of 20-foot high stack of floppy disks. Well, the one thing we didn't talk about in that analogy was what was in the hardcore memory of the computer. What was the programming? The floppy disks make up your belief systems and your opinions about life. But that hardcore memory within the computer, it is the definition that you have of yourself, your I ams and your I am nots. Now, those disks of belief and opinions, you know, for some of you, it's like you got an opinion about everything. I mean, for Harry's stack of discs, you know, reaches the top of Mount Everest. What? For others, you got sort of little discs, little short stacks. What?
What are you looking over here for?
You got a short, yeah. You got a short stack. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. How many of you have seen that movie, Rainmaker? Rain Man? It is one of the best movies I've ever seen. Uh-oh.
You can understand what Dustin Hoffman is saying, and you can understand what goes on.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Hey, he is an idiot savant. Dustin Hoffman plays an idiot savant, which is Harry autistic. It's a picture of Harry. It's a picture of Harry's mind. You know, Harry gets so totally upset if something isn't just exactly in the right place.
The syrup doesn't come before the day.
It's Tuesday.
It's fish stick night.
Fish stick night.
8 fish sticks. Only 4 on my plate.
Yeah. But all of those things, where did they come from? They came from all of those discs came from, you know, your environment, your belief systems, et cetera, that you were foisted on you by your parents. But that core memory, And those discs are interchangeable. I can give a Zeus one or two of them. You know, that's what religion is. Religion just makes your stack of discs higher. Remember Jesus said, you shall travel over sea and land to make one convert, and when he is made, you shall make him twice the child of hell that you are. The reason is you gave him a whole other stack of discs to worry about. Well, okay, we've attacked those discs, the floppy discs and the sloppy discs. Now we need to attack in the spirit the great transgression. And the great transgression. What's your computer called? What's the memory? I mean, not the
hard disk.
The hard disk? Yeah, the hard disk. We're going to attack the hard disk. That's called the great transgression. And in the Bible, the hard disk, the things on that hard disk, they're more than our idolatry, but they are the representatives that the scriptures call the green trees. You know, under every green tree you have lain. Okay? Now, the best way to attack the disk is to pull the plug. So the disk was created, that hardcore memory was created in you. Everything in that hard disk is magic, sorcery. You remember that? That's the basis. And it was created in you so that you could stand the separation of your first expulsion from the womb. And you slowly but surely created this hard disk, these hard memories, these hard impulses that still define you. It still defines your personality. Still defines who you were and who you are. And every one of those is called idolatry. Now, there's this great thing here in verse 24 of 7. It says, he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. Now, the name has to be destroyed. Otherwise, it still has power over you. There's example after example in the Talmud of Israel could make use of the high places for their own purposes as long as there was no manual labor connected with building it. Well, this is in...
back way up to where you quoted in Deuteronomy about the naming. Where's that?
Deuteronomy 7:24.
Okay.
It says you shall destroy their name from under heaven. Now the only heaven you're concerned about, and the only earth you're concerned about, is the one, this is the earthen vessel. You got to get rid of the name. Now the only way you can get, huh?
About the new name,
you can't get the new name if the old one's gone. That's right. But you've got to get rid of that name so that you can be, you know, we talked about on the computer, when we use that computer analogy on the belief systems and opinions, that you don't want, you know, who do you want on that keyboard? You find out all the people you don't want on the keyboard, right? You find out you don't want your parents on the keyboard. You don't want anybody on the keyboard. You want God on the keyboard. And that's why Jesus Christ is the way. You certainly don't want me on the keyboard.
That's right.
Amen. He just got here. What the hell are you amening about now?
Everybody knows we don't want you touching the keyboard.
I probably could do pretty good on the keyboard.
I don't think I'd like the data you didn't put.
Garbage in. Yeah, computer. Words.
Well, guess who you don't want worse on the keyboard?
Me.
Look in a mirror.
Boy.
You haven't done too good on the programs. Every one of those programs that have been inputted into you have as their component, fundamentally, that they're an enemy of faith. They're an enemy of the abandonment of self. Somehow, we have got to attack, or let the Spirit of God attack, that input so that the name of that is no longer in the computer. In other words, we've erased that from, or we've marred it so that it no longer has any input, no control over you. Now, how do you get rid of the name? You know what the worst kind of programming... Let me talk a minute about programming. I hurt my finger.
Talk about the manual labor thing.
I will in a minute. These are examples of programming. You know, these are, and you, I hear it all the time from you. I just can't remember names.
Who said that?
I did.
I'm no good at math.
Nothing ever goes right. It's just no use. It won't work.
We try.
It's Ollie's fault.
That's just one of those things.
That's what the main one.
Yeah. No, man, no. I just hate paperwork.
I'm doing some paperwork right now.
I can never seem to make enough money. If only I were...
Then I'd get.
But just think of all of these, but they, if we could get down to their core, there would be a few in the permanent memory of the computer that affected how everything else was operating in you. You understand me? Here's our computer person.
Tom, how do you just destroy this? What's on the hard disk?
White file.
All right.
We want to get you to the point, and God wants you to get you to the point, where there's no modifiers on you, where you can be just I am. That's what the whole battle of Christianity, the whole battle of Judaism, is to get to the point where I am. Now, these green trees, let's look there real quickly so you can remember about green tree stuff. Go to Jeremiah 2. Now let's go to Jeremiah 17. Shut up, Tom. You're not very late.
You're not very late.
You don't have to put up with it.
You got everybody at Jeremiah 17? The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron.
Good night.
Yeah, thank you.
What a verse.
I just added it to your Bibles just so I could make the computer permanent.
How do you do that?
It's magic. The sin of Judah is written. What are you mumbling about?
It's just a wild idea. You don't want to hear about it.
The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. Now, that's the great transgression. The sin of Judah. Now, it's written with a pen of iron with a point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart. Remember now, these are not these floppy disks of beliefs which can change with. These are the core of your being. It's graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altar. While their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. Let's go to Jeremiah 2 a minute. Well, Jeremiah 3. Verse 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, etc. I was talking to Jeff when we talked the other day, and I said the purpose of time and space is that God wants a bride in Israel, and the name of the bride is Israel. And Israel is a whole human race now because the seed is shed, and he's waiting for a people. Though Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant shall come through it. And you can't come through it if you're holding on to these stupid idols. And they can't be negative or positive. I mean, Pete operates in a dimension that defines a negative self. Harry spends his life winking in the dark because he's afraid to go, he's afraid of rejection. Larry spends most of his life in poverty because he's afraid of success. God doesn't care about poverty or no poverty. He doesn't care about I ams. He cares about you being rid of all of your idolatry. And now we're addressing these ones that are the most difficult of all. They're written with a pen of iron and engraven with a point of a diamond. The great transgression. It's what's held you in bondage, just as the whole human race is. And Freud called this the ego. It's that state that defines yourself. Did you know that Freud got his theories? You know where he got his theories? Everybody says it was new. All you have to do is read the Zohar. Every one of Freud's theories is in the Zohar. Now, what we have to address now is then the scripture, the Bible, talks about every one of these points in your life that you have it graven in. In another analogy or simile, it is that the reason it became graven is because you went to the flourishing tree rather than waiting and trusting on the Holy One of Israel. And these are the things that you've done by habit since early childhood. And you've excused everything based on it because you've never seen them as true idolatry. Now, The way you get rid of that idol is you see that it has, you see that it's marred, as we talked about in the other kind of idolatry we studied, but you see it has to not just be marred, it has to be, the name of it has to be destroyed from the program. Otherwise, you're like Israel marching through the land and they burn the tree, but the tree is still standing and it can grow. So we have to remove the name. God does. We can only do it by pushing all of your buttons. And that's what, you know, if you read the Talmud, every great rabbi in history, he was great because he knew how to push your buttons. He knew how to communicate. Now, as I talked about the name, Israel could use the idols. Israel could use the high place activities. Israel could use all that as long as there was no manual labor on the part of the person, whoever built it. You understand? If they went up to a beautiful mountain and there was a beautiful natural scene with a, you know, like a natural amphitheater, and it was up in a high place, and there was no manual labor to create it, then Israel was allowed to use it. But if there was any manual labor to create that,
it wasn't that they. I thought you were talking about if you did, went up on a high place and did manual labor something else up there.
No. Okay. If there was no manual labor to create that grove, that ashtara, that high place, then Israel could use it.
But when your cup is full, drink it with.
Yeah. Well, let's go to Ephesians 5.
Are you sure? I'm positive.
Ephesians 5. Remember, I've told you so often about Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is the same as the book of Joshua. They're companion books. The book of Joshua was what covered the activities of Israel and the promise of the natural. The book of Ephesians covers the activities of Israel and the promise of the Spirit. Ephesians 5, chapter 6. I mean, chapter 5, verse 6. One of those things.
You have a porous forehead. He said that every night since I've known him.
To you. Now, you went to a meeting dressed like that?
I was the best dressed person there. I overdressed.
So you're representing the Dallas Project looking like that?
I told them my name is Odin.
Hey, Doug works for me.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug works for me.
He looks semi-homeless.
Let no man deceive you with vain words. Doug. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving or testing what is acceptable unto the Lord. And having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now the unfruitful works of darkness, by the Bible's own admission, are in idolatry. We just read it. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now, they're not talking about you going out and smoking a joint or getting a little. They're talking about idolatry. You understand? And up in verse 3, it says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named. So somehow, the speaking of it or the naming of it is connected here in Ephesians in the same way that it was the instructions in Deuteronomy just before they entered the promise. It has to do with the destruction of idolatry and the destruction of the name of the idol. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, it goes on, See ye then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Okay. Now let's see if we can look some more at green trees. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 17. This is the thing that covers the fall of Samaria and the captivity of Israel. Let's start in verse 5. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hala and in Habor by the river Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and had walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, You shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, Turn ye from your evil way, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent you to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding they would not hear, but harden their necks like to the neck of their fathers, but did not believe in the Lord their God. They set them up, in verse 10, they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree, and there they burnt incense. Now, as we said last time, the word for green in the Hebrew is the word which just means flourishing or successful. For your entire life up till this point, every time that you were confronted with a problem, every time you were confronted with something that was unpleasant to you, or every time you were confronted with a need, in the spirit that means you were in the desert in a place without water. Understand? Rather than digging or waiting to see God in that thing, you automatically lift up your eyes into the horizon and try to find a green tree. Untold thousands of green trees. Untold millions of green trees. Something that's flourishing. Some place where you can see by your senses. And there you run to. Running to there is the sin of idolatry. Thinking about running to there is incense. It's the burning of incense. Now somehow, through this process, you must see that every act of that nature is an act of no faith. Every act that you have commented on or thought about as reason is in truth an act of burning incense to the wrong god. It's really burning the incense under the tree. And every act of running to the tree is an act of unbelief. Why is there no power in your life? Because you haven't stood still to see the salvation of God. The only way that you can see that it's fruitless to run to those trees for sustenance, for life, is to see that they have been burned. Am I clearly?
Yeah.
You're running to a stock. It's burned and ugly. It has no life. Now this weekend, we're going to find out why you run, why you go there. What it is, what is it in that hard permanent disc programming in your computer that causes you to automatically leave the rest, that causes you automatically to burn the incense? Any questions?
I just saw part of this whole thing in different analogies. One of them was like the core of my being feels like a heavy amp motor that's got thousands of windings, tight windings of copper. That went on as I was growing up day after day, making myself into what I thought I needed to be to survive. And it's like that motor drives me. And it's, it continually hums with
the motor analogy.
The motor analogy.
When they went up to the high place, they could do what they could worship there if they didn't?
No, they could use it for anything they wanted to.
Just enjoy it.
Yeah. Enjoy it or use it. Their sheep up there.
Run their sheep or camp out or go summer camping, grab a picnic.
So what did it mean to go up there then to do the other with the man-made?
If it, that was pure.
And what does that symbolize? It was
out of their own self that they were creating.
Yeah, in you it symbolizes that, again, the things that... What component of your being, of your automatic response to a stimulus, is man-made? You understand? What component is learned behavior, and what component is natural? And I can't answer that question, only you can. Only the test can. The promise in Isaiah and the Psalms is that you will ride on your high places. You will walk on them. The high places, always when Israel came on a high place, once they had defeated the enemy, the man-made things they destroyed, but what they did is they laid their hands on it, and that meant they had dominion over it. And again, it's interesting. The high place is the high place here, is called the Bama. In Hebrew, the place of preaching, or the place the rabbi sits, is the bima. That's only a vowel point away. Okay, go to Ezekiel 6. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel, and prophesy against them, and say, Ye mountains, hear the word of hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys, Behold, I will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places. And the sword of God is that he will make your mouth as a two-edged sword. The word. And your altars shall be desolate. Your images shall be broken. I will cast down your slain before your idols. I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols. I will scatter your bones round about your altars. In all your dwelling places the city shall be laid waste. The high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and be made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cease, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, that's already happened, folks. So you're worshiping and running after ghosts. You're running after, in the green tree that business, the trees you're running after are already burned, and you know they're burned. You understand? You know there's no flourishing there. But you still go there. Why? Why do you go to a burned out place to gain sustenance? Because the heart, what?
That's the frustrating part.
Yeah, but the reason is because this core program, the hard disk, still has, all the sloppy disks, sloppy floppy disks, have been destroyed. But it's like you know, when if a person has a leg cut off, it's still, their toes still hurt. It's muscle memory, or ego memory, and it's based on these things that define your I am, or your I am nots. Okay. Yet will I leave a remnant, that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations, when ye shall be scattered through the countries, that they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations. Now remember, Israel is already now as the sand of the sea. Everybody on the face of the earth is Israel, because of the sperma of God shed in them, but only a remnant shall escape. And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations where they shall be carried captives, because I am broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes which go a-whoring after their idols. And they shall loathe themselves for all the evils which they have committed and all their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them. And thus saith the Lord God, Smite with thine hand, and stamp with thy foot, and say, Alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel. For they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. He that is far off shall die of the pestilence, he that is near shall fall by the sword, he that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine. I mean, that's a nice future you got there. Thus will I accomplish my fury upon them. Then shall you know that I am the Lord, when their slain shall be among their idols, round about their altars, upon every high hill, in all the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree, and under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savor to all their idols. So will I stretch out my hand upon them, and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblath, in all their habitations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. The thing that's so hard for us to believe is that this has already accomplished. This has already happened. It's only this evil one, this Antichrist, this seed of the serpent, that is still defining the possibility of success after the flesh. That's what the whole New Testament's about. Aren't you tired of the internal mind talk? Aren't you tired? I mean, you know you're being deceived. You sit there. You go. You just. It's like. I with Rick, I use the example of he was a doodle bug. I mean, he. Yeah, he runs. He lifts a rock. Well, he runs in and finds it. Well, that's what you are in your mind. You reach a state of desperation, and your mind just goes like, you know. Yeah, but it's like it's one of these crazy pinball machines or something that has all these lights going off and on, and you just keep, you know, well, you already know. Stand still, wait, rest. Well, the attack of the green tree, the attack of the great transgression, is the attack of that hard disk memory that even though all of the floppy disks are destroyed, the hard disk memory is still trying to do something. Well, there's nothing to do. So it just goes around, it just goes crazy. Well, how do you get it to be at rest? How do you find peace? That's where we are. You ready to go? Who's anybody that can't go?
Yes.
Rearrange my soccer room. Suddenly I feel better about going.
Why?
It's a bad
sign. Oh boy, terrible sign. You
just doubled out. Oh, I was in trouble before.
It couldn't get worse, it can only get better.
You understand, let me just review a couple of things that I talked about before. You understand that you were told no, or you can't do that, somewhere between 100 and 200,000 times before you reach the age of puberty? Now, that's in juxtaposition to, I can do all things through Christ. Psychologists have studied the thought processes. For the average person, 77% of every one of their thoughts is negative. Huh?
I don't believe that.
Grills.
Medical psychologists say that up to 75% of all illness is self-induced.
What about injuries?
What?
What about injuries?
Within that thing, that Antichrist, right, is in the temple of God, there's between 550 and 100 billion neurons. And each area of your life is controlled by those switches and thoughts. Do you know your brain is amoral? Has no morals? Brain believes everything. Brain doesn't know time. Brain believes the lie of separation. When you were born, you were a new computer. Except there was only one program on it. And the program said, had something to do, it save my life, save my life, preserve self. That's why Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. I mean, we're talking, this isn't easy stuff. That's why we have to cast down imaginations in every high place that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Jesus Christ, Messiah, he's the only perfect program. He's the way, the truth, and the life. That's why he said you must abandon yourself. Give you something to think about. Mm-hmm. Anybody got anything? Questions, comments? Everybody understand perfectly? Okay, I don't want to talk anymore.
Okay,
take
on.
A big guy, huh?